your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time.
Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. I'm super blessed, extremely grateful, because today I have an amazing guest, my friend, my dear friend, Miss KK. How are you?
I'm living the dream. How could I not be living the dream when I am on your podcast? This is a pinnacle moment right here.
I appreciate you. You know, I have to say the same because, you know, you are a dear friend. You've become a dear friend. And, you know, before that, you know, I really remember seeing you and be like, KK, you know, we're going to get to know each other. I just knew it. I just felt it. I just had this like energy. And, you know, here we are today, you know, after, what was it? 2 months ago? 2 months ago. Mexico.
Gosh. Yeah. It was about 2 months ago because I had a parasite for a month. And then I recovered for a month from the watch. Did you not?
What? No, you didn't tell me.
Oh, because I'm so resilient. I was like, I can brush my teeth with the water.
But
I brushed my teeth with water. I got a parasite. I mean, it was the best I had looked in a long time. I dropped like 11 pounds. That thing ate me from the inside out. I mean, it was insane.
My goodness. Well, as always, the resilience is present inside of KK. Carissa, for those of you who may call her Carissa, is it Coochies or Cooches?
Cooches. It's great.
Cooches, yeah. Beautiful. So for those of you that don't know KK, I really want to just like highlight some of her brilliance because many of you may know her overall badassery, but she's just simply amazing and she's doing beautiful things in the world. And I'm just super blessed to really be able to highlight some of this. So for those of you that may know KK as KK, here she is, but some of you may know her as Carissa. She's a national speaker, corporate trainer, host, performance strategist for my dear mentor and teacher, Tony Robbins. And, you know, with the master's degree in organizational influence, KK blends communication theory with human psychology to guide clients in really advancing skills in leadership, negotiation, psychology of achievement, sales mastery, and what KK calls overall badassery. Whoa! She's brought her high energy, willing, and training to over 1,000 events for companies like Fox Sports, Salesforce.com, the NFL, StubHub, Zoom, The Ellen DeGeneres Show, Ace Hardware, Keller Williams, Beauty Counter, Equinox, Isagenics, New York Life, Marriott Hotels, and Bar Fitness. Wow. People describe KK with words like firecracker, energized, raw, bold, authentic, electric, or simply their company's favorite keynote. And here we are. Let's rock it.
I need that introduction everywhere I go. When I wake up in the morning, the voice of God, like firecracker, energized. I just thank you for that intro. Beautiful.
Listen, you know, we need to, like Joseph always talks about, Joseph McLennan, you know, he always shares how we got to walk through those doors.
Right? Like you're right? the baddest
That's
thing
right.
That walk through the door.
So now, you know, whenever you are traveling, just, you know, I'll definitely, you know, we'll record this or we'll put this somewhere and we'll just put it on play. Or just let me know and I'll come and I'll visit.
I'm happy to be here. I'm super excited for today.
Listen, I'm so grateful. And I really want to let you know, like the Resilient Minds, I always talk about how our experiences in life, you know, really contribute to so much of our why, our big purpose, our mission, our vision. And, you know, I know that you've been on your own journey through, you know, a little bit, and there's always this contribution that you're always giving at all the events, you know, whether you're next to Tony or you're doing things with Dean or all the things that you do, you know, with Unleash Her Power Within and all the brilliance that you're bringing to the world. And I really would love to know a little bit, like a defining, like some of these defining moments that you've had that have really helped you understand, like, wow, like gone within yourself and said, I really am so excited because of this defining moment to really like step into that greatness or step into your purpose or step into all of these meaningful things that you're really contributing to the world today.
Yeah, I think that there are multiple rebirths that people experience in their life. Like I remember a rebirth for me was in college, and it was just like diving in and doing everything. Like I was an athlete and I was like involved in everything. And that was kind of a rebirth. I learned a part of myself. And then there was a rebirth of this phase of living in Chicago and making like totally not much money and living in my parents' basement. And then going to this Tony event, right? It was like, boom, pivot of the mind, like rebirth. And then it was getting into my career with Tony and that whole beginning journey and completely transforming everything I once knew as reality and doing things that were kind of seemingly above like my capability level, boom, rebirth, like being called to step up. And then I think the most recent rebirth where I believe a lot of entrepreneurs go through this, and I hope in any time I do these is to be like as relatable as possible. And I think like a big rebirth, the most important rebirth, it wasn't like a moment or a conversation or a distinction, but it's the recognition of like you being so filled that you no longer have to be anything. And there's a distinction. It's like when I was starting this, I wanted to be and embody this essence. So I would talk in ways that it wasn't just like me. It was like trying to be good enough or trying not to be an imposter, or I'd be walking in and having these advanced conversations that were maybe beyond where I thought that I was. If I was trying to embody what I wanted to be, like, in the full knowingness of like who I am. And I hope I am making sense here, but it's like you do that when you start in business. It's like you know, trying, or you have a conversation just like, let me show you what I can do, or who I am, or who I work for, and showing, right, and telling. And then something happens where it's like, and I can't put my finger on this, but when you really, instead of working out, going to the gym and working out, it's like you start to really work in, and you work into such a deep level. You do that introspection, you do that inner work, and something shifts in you where you no longer have to showcase anything or try to be someone or prove anything. You are so filled that all you have is room to give, and there's no ego, there's no lens, there's no proving. It's just like, I am me. And I don't need to validate or prove or show. I'm here just completely to give. And I think that moment for me has been really profound, I would say, just in the last 6 months. It's the most recent rebirth that I've had. And I think that's the first piece of advice I would give to any entrepreneur or someone wanting to go be a trailblazer, an innovator. Relieve any need of trying, and you can shift to just being and being completely comfortable and full and connected and filled up.
Wow, like I love that. You have no idea how resonant that is to me, and it's extremely present to me recently too, is like this emphasis, you know, of connectivity to yourself, because for so long, Eric was like proving himself to somebody or somewhere, somehow, and realizing that beingness of who we are, that we have nothing to freaking prove, that we can just like really like step into it wholeheartedly, is super resonant, KK. And I think that so many people right now, like I know that in my own essence, in my own journey, this is something that continued for so long to be like based off of what we needed to like see. And I know that there's so many people that will resonate to this, because especially in entrepreneurs, like you're doing things based off of the unknown and you're leaning into so many of the unknown. So when you realize that it is within you, like you're sharing, that you just need to be like genuine and authentic and like excited about like living every day.
And that also is what creates great connections for you in business. I can't tell you, like, there's, when you build connections from a place of not true authenticity, you're not building connections in your business. It's all, there's an agenda there. There's an ego there. And if you know it, when you sit down with somebody and you're kind of like waiting for them to be done talking so you could talk about that thing that you did 2 years ago or who you're working with right now, just to be like, oh, this is who I am. This is who I am. And if anyone's listening and watching this right now, and there's a part of you that's like, oh God, sometimes I do that. I think it's a like a mandatory part of that journey. But once you can get to a place where like, you don't have to show, you just fully are who you are. You're not going to now have clients. You're going to have friendships and deep connection and love, and great doors are going to open because it's just pure connection. It's true, authentic, like you and I connecting on what's real, my heart, your heart, business explodes.
Life
explodes. Yeah. Yeah.
It really, like, I found so much of, because like, you know, and I'll take it back to like even feeling the connection, like when you and I were met, it was like I felt like you were like a soul sister, like fierce feminine, like amazing ignition of like tremendous energy, because you were just open to offer this like authentic and vulnerable and appreciative state. Not that's just for me, by the way, by for everybody, right? Like, it's like, this is like, and this is how you show up in the world, KK. And it's like, it's super powerful. And yeah, I just want to acknowledge that. I think that that's really important for so many people to see. So much
for me, because there's been for sure a majority of my career where I've like, in both energies, my masculine and my feminine, I like reside heavily in my masculine. And that's been a huge intention of mine, is like surrendering to that more of my flow state. And so for you to say that is just, it means a lot. And I appreciate that.
Remember when we were having like the whole group, like everyone for Brian's birthday, we were having like fierce feminine. That was the first thing that I thought, like when I was talking about KK. So for context, for anybody that's listening, it was a beautiful occasion. We were there for Brian's birthday, a mutual friend of ours. And Brian, for his birthday, he wanted all of us to say, like, what are we grateful for about, like, you know, there was like 30 people at the table. And the most beautiful thing, the beautiful breakthrough is that some of us barely knew each other. And so this emphasis allowed us to tremendously connect with people that we barely knew, off of an opportunity just to like say a few amazing things about one another based off of an immediate connection. And so that is something that I think that anybody should do anytime, anywhere, any place when they're having dinner with a bunch of people, by the way.
What we did specifically, those of you that want to know, if you're somebody that goes out and like conversation's weird for you, or you just want to take your dinner conversation to a deeper level, this is what you do. Everyone at the table goes to the person like to the right of you, Connor or counterclockwise, and you see something that you appreciate about the person next to you, or it could be something you're grateful for. But what we normally do is, what is something that you are grateful for about the person to your right? And we'll go around in a circle and you go one by one around the entire table, or you can just do your person to the right and do it that way. But we've been doing that for probably about 2 years, and without fail. Like Brian and I have been to dinner a million times. We've done it with each other a million times. And every time we do it, the table's crying. You've got snot, because it's just like,
it was amazing.
Right? When you give love to another person, just genuine presence and focus, oh my goodness, there's just, it's like that. If you want to take dinner table to another level, that is an exercise you must do. We call it, I think, table talk or something.
Yeah, it was amazing. I really appreciated that. And it's something that I've really latched onto and like moved forward with, like in my own kind of like experiences of life. So absolutely. Anybody on here that wants to take it, that is like your biggest takeaway of today, is go and do table talk. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
Yeah.
So pivoting a little bit, KK, you know, I really, you know, going into that shift of like being into yourself and like really in the beingness rather than the provingness, yeah, of, you know, what KK is about, you know, like, you know, you're on stages next to Tony, you've been doing huge things, you're your authority and your celebrity status, like all of this is rising. One thing that I'm noticing, which is extremely present every time we connect, is your groundness.
Wow. It
is yeah, you're super grounded. Like none of that is like getting. So tell me, how do you stay in that presence?
You saying that also, it's like sometimes we don't see in ourselves what others see in ourselves when we're in the pursuit of them. And so the quality of being grounded, the quality of being really existing in my feminine and connected and conscious and awake and in my flow state and a servant and a contributor, like these are all things that every single day I'm working on cultivating and enriching in myself. Like God, give me the strength to strengthen these things inside of myself. Like I'm constantly focused on being more grounded, because I can be, you know, aggressive. I could like pick up a water bottle and I break the top off and it's exploding. And I'm, you know, I feel like I'm all over the place and my email's backed up and I've got 564 unread text messages. It's like, sometimes I don't feel grounded. So just you saying that, I think is a message for everyone of like, when you're in the pursuit of something, you may not feel it, but give yourself credit because it still shows up. So thank you. And how do I do that? I don't know if I have a specific answer, but here's a few things. Is I'm focused on not being so matter to matter. And what I mean, not to get too quantum physics on everyone here, but like the material world is this 3D world that we live in every single day. Like this table, you know, this coffee cup, that tree, that person doing the mail. It's like, these are material objects in the 3D realm. And for a lot of people to get where they want to go, they work harder and they push harder and they go faster and they beat people and they get competitive. And it's like, they push really, really hard here in the here and now, in this world, in this time, space, reality. But in the true reality, this world is a speck, a tall, little, tiny speck compared to everything and compared to the universe, to your creation, whatever that is for you. This is a small, small, small experience. And so I'm not always awake to that. By no means am I saying that I have this grand vision and I just live here for a little bit of the time and my head's all the way up in the void. Like, no, I'm not saying that. I still live very much a 3D life. I'm just present to the fact now more than ever that this is a part of my life, but the richness and the fullness that I'm able to give as a gift and a contribution in my meat suit of a body in the 3D world is something, it's small compared to where my energy really lives. And so with that in mind, I'm kind of able to surrender to the present moment, because like when you're focused on the past, like there's nothing back there for you. You're not living if you're thinking about that. If I'm always stuck in the future about what I'm being and what I'm doing and I'm creating, like I have no life. I've gypped myself of the joy of this gift of the present moment. Why do you think they call it the present moment? Because it is a gift. And so in getting a little bit more humble in the experience of like, what is this time actually? Like this moment, it's like right now, really, really connected to this, which I'm not always. I'm not succeeding in it by any means, but I try. And so if I can just be here and energetically put my baggage in a box and set it on the shelf and be here, that for me, that takes me back to planet Earth, settles me down, grounds my mind, and allows me to give more of who I am to that moment.
Wow. Wow. And how does that make you feel, knowing that you can consciously do that?
Yeah, it gives me, I was about to say it gives me a sense of control, but I don't know if it's necessarily control. It's almost like I'm comfortable in being guided. It's like when I can recognize that I don't have to be the person pushing, creating, and I can kind of just separate and be here. There's a special moment of like, I can leave room for the unknown. I can leave room to be surprised. I can leave room to be delighted for something to happen and for me to be like, ooh, look at this gift that just popped up for me. It's like, it allows me to just flirt with the, like what could happen You know, it leaves them, leaves something exciting for me to think about.
So the mystery is what I really am excited to really dive a little bit deeper into with you, because the unknown, the mystery, the yeah. experience of life is, you know, something that I get really excited about. And yeah. like, I'm so excited about this. So like, tell me, when you know of these, like the mystery of the unknown and how we can continue to serve from that place of like wanting to be, you know, those servant leaders or looking to create more of that servant mentality, even though we don't necessarily know what that looks like, but wanting to come from that place of surrender, how do you continue to lean in with that guidance mm-hmm. or with that recognition that you may be being guided? Is there something tactical that maybe anybody that's listening right now can say, wait, wow, I can maybe take a piece of this advice right yeah. now that KK might be sharing that they can do? Because, and the reason I'm asking you this is because I know for myself in the past, I really struggled with staying in the present or realizing that there's something maybe greater, or even the 3D, because what I've understood is that 3D to me now, and just recently, like yourself, I had this connection where like everything that's in the quantum or in the quantum field, the 5D world, is our duty to create into our 3D version of our lives in the physical space. Yeah. And we have that's through our journey. But it's yeah. because of the mystery of the lean in of the experience of the intention
yeah.
that we can serve from that place and being, like you said, in the present moment.
Yeah, I have a pretty specific answer on this one. And I think this is where the duality of like my masculine and my feminine come from, is like, I can play both cards. I always say this about, like, I'm from Chicago, I'm a Midwest person. I could hit up a dive bar and go to a ball game and have like a loaded hot dog. And then I could, I don't know, go to some really bougie event, or I could talk consciousness and quantum field. It's like, I can fit in all of the worlds. And so looking at this, my belief is like, you can't leave everything up to like, I'm going to create it in 5D and I'm going to wait for it to appear here. It's like, I still believe if the thermometer is from 0 to 100%, I'm still going to go 150, and then I'm going to be delighted about what happens. But like, I'm going to release and surrender after I've done everything and then some, where normally people would maybe go 75% and be like, oh, let's see if the stars are aligned and if it's meant for me. Like, I don't leave it up to chance that much. You know, that's where my like, let's fucking do this comes in, because I'm going to create my damn reality, and then I'm going to hand it over to the powers that be. And I know that I'm flexible enough to keep changing my approach until we hit that outcome. But I also know that like source or God or universe or a different realm or a different energy is absolutely aware of what I want. Like, I've made it abundantly clear. I've put everything in. I've given everything I have to creating it. And then I allow myself to be surprised. And also I keep my eyes open, because when you control too much, then you think you know the way that something is going to be created. If you are not aware and allowing of spontaneity, and like, I'm always like, look at that weird thing that just happened over here. What's this bringing me? Like, what's the, oh, that thing that's disguised as a problem. What's this about to do? I'm so excited for this. Like, I'm awake, yeah. My eyes are wide open to what could be a possibility, but I will never leave a stone unturned. Like, I will go to that finish line in a full dead-on sprint before I sit back and receive. And not to say that's right or wrong, just to say what's effective. And for me, I believe you give everything you got, you get rewarded.
Absolutely. And it comes back to that intensity with intention. What is that? An elevated emotion plus, what does he say? I totally forget right now. The elevated emotion plus like a
experience.
Say again.
Plus an experience.
Yes. And that will really be what makes like true execution absolutely happen and be realized in the physical reality. And I think I love hearing what you're sharing, because so many times it's like about this element of consciousness. It really allows us to go deeper when we do this. It's like what Tony says, you know, knowledge is potential power.
Yeah.
It's the execution that drives it to making it an actual power. Yeah. Right.
And if anyone wants a tip on like, how do I manage the manifestation with like the work that it takes in the realm, I do a little exercise that sometimes I do quarterly. I just do it when I need it. I do it when I'm called to do it, but absolutely yearly. And I would get into the nitty gritty, but I do this over 8 weeks with a huge group of women. But like, here's what I do. I'm doing all the work in the 3D, but then I'm also doing the work on like on me on the inner side. And then I'm doing some work up here inside of energy. So the way that would look is like, okay, what are the things that I want to create? What are all the results I want to make happen? You know, what are the feelings that I want to have? Like, I always start there. Like, what do I want to feel? I want to feel abundant joy. I want to feel electric. I want to feel alive. I want to feel fulfilled. I want to feel love. I want to feel kindness. I want to feel like obsessed with breath and with life. And like, I think of all the feelings that I want to have. And then I think of like, okay, if I were to create those feelings, like what would fill my life up that would give me that? And then what are the results I want to create? What are my like goers and doers and dreams and goals? Like the crazy things that you'd want, that you would want to check off that list. Like, what are all those things? And then I say, okay, who do I need to be to get there? And that who do I need to be represents a new self, which would make whoever I'm showing up as old self. I'm always taking a look at like, what's new self, what's old self, where am I going, where have I been, what's next step, what's current step, like that awareness of where I'm going and where I am, because that's human evolution. Then once I know where I want to go, then I will create that vision and an identity. Like, I'll create that person, I'll give her a name, I figure out everything about her, she walks, she dresses, the way she feels, the way she thinks, and I name her. So one of mine is Sasha, for example. And I embody this. And I embody this. I start to feel the feelings of being elated and electric, euphoric, and in love with life. And I start to create those feelings in my life now as if it were already really, truly happening. So I have the feeling before the results happen. I'm already embodying the feeling. And then just to make it fun, I will like write up a mantra. I record my voice saying it. I'll put a video together with pictures that describe what I'm doing. So it's kind of like a vision board on screen. But that
I love it.
Connected to this greater vision. And I've got the feeling in my body. And then I know that like I'm doing all the things right now to create some of those bigger goals, but I'm not directly, you know, doing that, but I'm walking through the doors and they're opening and I have the faith that it's taking me there. And I'm willing to be surprised and delighted of like, here's someone random that I met in this opportunity. That's crazy. That's a synchronicity. And I'm open to it.
I think those, and you open, because you open yourself up to it, you're now receiving it as well, rather than just like, it's
no tension. It's flow.
There's no tension, no friction, no tension. No, exactly. It's flow. And yeah. I think that's like powerful. You touched briefly on this group of women.
Yeah.
And I really want to like dive a little bit deeper into that, because I think that's really powerful what you're doing with Unleash Her Power Within, and how you're able to really serve in this community. So can you share, you know, a little bit about the process of what that looks like and how you're serving these amazing women in What's Her Power Within? Because you're a tremendous leader. And I think more people need to hear about it.
Thank you so much. And I'll share, and it's not myself alone. Like, that's for sure. There's a whole community of incredible people within our Tony Robbins company that make it possible. But what it really started, it's at its core, it is a community of women that attend Tony Robbins events. Like, and we do training together. You create that identity that I just shared. Sasha, that whole process like is over the course of 8 weeks. And so we do that as a community. There's like 1,000 of us that go to every event, and we do that 8-week training process. Then we all go to the event together. And then the idea is that it extends your journey. You don't just go to an event and then you did it and it was great and it's over. It's like transforming you from the inner so that you can experience it in the outer world. And And truly, women are going many different places for this community right now, but we have the number one success coach, mindset trainer, like psychology, a development specialist titan in the world. And I know that because I've been to this event before. I know what it's like to not know if you can afford a ticket to a Tony event, to like transforming your life and now having the privilege of being involved in our live events. It's like, that wasn't a huge time difference for me. That was the course of 2.5 years, my life dramatically changing. And not because Tony gave that to me, it was because I was involved in the work. And myself along with our entire team of UHPW women that put it together, we just want more women to have access to this. And that we're on Facebook here, so this will, I don't know what kind of buttons this will press for people, but for me, my personal belief about like the whole women's movement, it's like, I am the biggest, like I'm gonna bring any woman to the table I possibly can. And I believe that a lot of the limitation is self-inflicted. Whatever ceiling we have, like, are there any women that have made beyond that ceiling? If the answer is yes, then is it possible? It's like Richard Bandler with the 4-minute mile. It's like, if someone's doing it, it is possible. But the more that we're saying, because we're women, we can't, or because of this, or because of this, that's a story that we fulfill. So I know that knowing this content, living it, has allowed me to create the abundance I want in my life. I know that if more women have access to this and doing it in a community, it's like, it would just radically change the way our world looks. So is there a huge, bigger meaning and message to it? Yes. And at the core, it's just so fun to do this with a community of people that you love, to go all out, to go to this event, to experience it in community, like to have that process. And it's just awesome. We do 8 weeks together, we go to together, and it transforms lives.
Absolutely. Touching on what you really emphasized, I think that it's amazing what you're doing with that whole community and how you're bringing 1,000 people into you know, the events, and that's by itself. I wanted to really dive a little bit deeper in the storytelling, because the storytelling of ourselves, it really piqued an interest for me, because our egoic mind for so long will like tell us, you know, what we're not capable of or what we are capable of, and hold us back. And I find that these stories are protecting us. And there's so much of that for myself. I've understood it was always about going back to proving myself, you know. It's been always like, that's what the ego has always allowed me to, or want me to protect, is you need to go prove yourself because you're not worthy, or you're not capable, you're not willing, or you're not going to step into that. And in fact, you know, there's so many of these different, I could tell you a bunch of different stories, but this is not about that. It's more about understanding, how can people recognize that these stories are not really serving them, that it's these stories that really, when we can step into that power of ourselves, or that mystery again, or the unknown that we're so like really hungry to really, at the end of the day, I always share, it's like, you know, aren't you excited to go to like on a vacation, for example, right? But for example, you're committed to doing the same thing over and over again for the next 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And I also used to come from a place where it did make sense to me. So I guess my question to you is this, is like, what is the biggest thing that, you know, people that are making these stories or really committing to that ego mind, how can they make a difference? Because in their own state of mind, to really step into that unknown wholeheartedly?
I think my answer is love. And this is going to be so interesting.
Is what? What did you say?
My answer is love. I think it's love. And I share that because I have no, you know, I think there's a long for not, I'm, it's not a destination. That's for sure. I've not arrived. I'm the humility of learning every single day. I just think there are many in this realm, coaches, entrepreneurs, the go-getter. Why are you doing what you're doing? and we say, oh, I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve. Are you? Or is there something else if you were to be really honest, right? Like, for what's your attachment to it? Are you completely invested in it? Is all of your happiness connected to your success? Is your happiness connected to how popular this thing is? Is it connected to, you know, the presence that you have in your social space? Like, what the connections, the attachments that we have to those things, that serves the ego. And then, but I think when you're, again, completely fulfilled and just in love with everything, with life, you see another person walking and they're just another example of like the divine walking down the street with like a different head on, right? Like when you're just in love, and like I said, I'm not there for sure. I judge, I criticize, I have ego, I do things to feed my ego. Like I notice that every day and I catch it, right? And I saw it. Oh, I noticed that. Ooh, I just said yes to that opportunity just to serve my ego. Ooh, I just said that thing right now I'm creating a face. Like I catch myself in those acts every single day. But I think when you strip it back and you get closer and closer and closer to just purity, closer to love, and you're more of the true version of you, I think that you're actually walking in service then. And I also don't think that you're fucking loaded and rich. That's a spirit, right? That you don't want people to have, you know, or you can't want great things if you don't want the car and you can't never. That's part of you, but it's not the reasons. It's not everything. You don't lose yourself when you don't have it.
Yep.
Someone told something important to me one time. It was actually Tony's wife, Sage. She said the two biggest fears that people have are not getting what they want or losing what they have. And I was like, great. Like that hits you because it's like, oh, if you lose what you have or you lose what you're going for and like you're, who are you anymore? You lose your identity. It's like, but then what? And so really be aware of, if I lost everything, would I still be fulfilled? And I think that's a powerful place to be. And I think that's true leverage. If you lost it all, would you be fulfilled? And I think that also exposes where there's opportunities for growth. I've for sure been one-dimensional in my life, where I've been, my career bucket has been fulfilled, and my other buckets are like boom tanking, right? And I work in self-development, and like there's my relationship bucket non-existent, right? Like, but career is like, so
yeah.
That awareness.
You touched on the awareness point of being really, 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 it really, really touched us on, like, I just want to really center in it, understand, because I think for me, making a significant point of like recognizing that sometimes these creations or these like this emphasis of putting our presence into understanding that we can be truly abundant and truly focused on owning who we are and stepping into that. I found that when you just shared that question of like losing what we have and or not getting what we want, I think that for me that like really stepping into that and like feeling that was like, holy shit, you're right. Like we do have that fear, and it is a powerful fear. And as I like sit here and like feel it, and I'm like truly present to that, what is it? What do you think that is it? Because what do you think that has really identified so much of society to have those fears? Because they're illusions. They really are, right? They don't make, and that attachment. So if it's that attachment, how can we really detach and observe sometimes that these ideas or these moments come through us, or these fears? Mm-hmm. Step away. You talked about the awareness, right? You talked about.
Yeah, it's just the awareness of it. You know, I don't have all the answers, especially those of you that are like, okay, great, I'm ready to let go of my attachment. It's like, dude, I'm trying to do that too. We're all trying to do that too. And I don't have the answer for that today, but I will say this. You know, when you're younger and you say the word like a bunch of times, you're like, oh, well, like, and your family's like, you just said like 1,000 times, right? I remember going through that, and I wanted to be in broadcasting, and I wanted to be in journalism. And I was, you know, morning news anchor in college, and I was doing like the on-court personality at the basketball games. And I was doing these things, and I did not want to say like, and I remember I was so upset because my dad was like, you sound like a Valley girl. And I was like, no, I'm not. I'm articulate. Damn it. You know? And once I became awake and aware that I was saying like all the time, I would be like, and I'd catch it fall out of my mouth and I'd reverse it back. So once you know these things about yourself, and you all know, everyone watching this knows, you know, if you're operating out of ego, you know, if you do something just to secretly like put somebody else down or compete with somebody, like, you know, we know when we do these things. And every single time you catch it and you just overcome yourself in that moment, and or you reverse it or you're course correcting, you're overcoming that old self. And if you just keep doing it, keep chipping away and keep chipping away, pretty soon you're going to be like, I haven't said like in months, and you're not even going to recognize it, you know? And it just happens because you're awake and you're aware of it. So even anyone listening to this right now is a step one. It's a step in the right direction.
Yes. And in listening to this, hearing, you know, all of this insight is like hearing your brilliance and extrapolating. And like, you know, I love being able to always chat with you, because you have such great insight. You have such great intuition. You have such great ways of offering value in so many, like you said, in so many different areas. So where do you get some of these amazing ideas? Where do you, you know, go out and learn more? I do know that you were just doing Joe Dispenza, am I right?
Yep, I did Joe Dispenza. I definitely practice what I preach, in that like we should be developing ourselves. You know, I'm constantly reading and fueling my mind. You know, my mentor, my teacher, Tony Robbins, always has quoted his original mentor, Jim Rohn, when he said, leaders are readers, like skip a meal, but don't skip reading. And I skip reading from time to time, if I'm being honest, but I read often. I'm constantly consuming content. I'm listening just to my teachers around me, to other people. My dog is a teacher of mine sometimes, in presence, like situations that pop up in earth school that are super challenging and feel like they're the demise to you. I'm dissecting and I'm learning and I'm evolving, and I'm not taking them to take me down. I'm taking them to lift me, right? I'm always looking at it to learn like that. And then looking at other teachers, like, Byron Katie is somebody who I've recently found that I really, really, really enjoy. Joe Dispenza, love Joe Dispenza so much. Obviously, Tony Robbins has been a huge mentor for me. And then I studied Tony so deeply that at one point it was like I could pull out something he said in Colorado in like 2013 and just regurgitate it. Like, I just studied to that length. And I think that helped me kind of understand the top, the bottom, the in and the out. But at some point I was really like, I was still surface. Like, there was deeper meaning that I was missing. So expanding and learning from new teachers allowed me to even understand what we teach at a better level. So never being, you know, too good to learn. If as long as I'm a student, I feel like that keeps me that zest, that spunk for the joys of learning in life. And every day.
I always feel like the best students are teachers, best teachers are students. And that's just like a never ending. It's like Tony, the Kanai, right? Constant never ending improvement. And it's a must. I find that that's been really powerful. And I see, by the way, Byron Katie, amazing. Like, amazing. Yeah. Her work. What is? Which one?
Loving What Is. Here's something else I do. is that I get recommendations like that a lot from people. I'm like, oh, I hear this book here, or I heard somebody talking about listening to this podcast. And I take those as hints. Like if, you know, somebody just randomly, like one time I was with someone in the Tony world, we were at a Tony event backstage, and this person brought up Byron Katie. And it was like, and I always think of those and I'm like, oh, someone said it. And that was okay. Thank you. Check. Like, I know that that's always my invitation of what's next for me. And so someone brought up Joe Dispenza and I was like, okay, thank you. That's next. I follow the guidance that I get, but especially when it comes to learning and development, that's how I pick up what I want to read. I'm not going out and looking on Google and searching up what are good books to read. I take that insight from my environment and the hints and the nudges that I get around me. And that's how I build like my reading list.
Yes. Great insight, because those are like little, it's like the unit that old adage, you know, the universe will give you exactly what you ask for. But most importantly, sometimes it'll you know, breeze, like, you know, hit you with a little bit of wind and all of a sudden it'll hit you like a rocket launcher. Right.
Yes.
And these are the ideas, like, you know, Byron Katie, I love her work. I think that she's been, you know, immense in like the growth of my own journey, definitely. And I think that that's been truly present always, even in the work that I'm noticing, like it, as I take and look at like other people's work, Tony's or Joe's or like anybody's work, it really like, there's key distinctions, of course, everybody's work. But they're all coming from, you know, this foundational source, which is always, I believe, you know, stoicism, or like, you know, a lot of like approaches from our creators or the Bible or things that, you know, the Bhagavad Gita, like so many different approaches that are just key distinctions. It's all like I always think of this like oneness or the turning aloneness to oneness has been a really important thing for myself, because I always thought I could do everything alone. And when we really distinctively understand that it's the togetherness, I find that we really can come from that place of creation or conscious creation with.
Yeah. And I think there's like
bringing it all together. No, and just bringing it all together. I think that's where the values for me have really been powerful. But please, I wanted to really describe as like, you talk about a lot of these values, and I wanted to see like, where does that show up regularly? Because it does regularly show up in your work, but how do those show up regularly in your work?
My personal values?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a constant reinvention, you know, like, I think when I ascend or something changes, like there's a reworking in values, and I know that I'm on the precipice of reworking my values. I just do it in different ways. Like I'm going to Date with Destiny in December as a participant because I'm like, oh, I want to rework my values. So the way that I do that is I actually like work through them. I block time off my schedule and I do it. Like, you know, Date with Destiny, if you guys are unfamiliar, is it's Tony's favorite event. It was like a 6-day night.
I'm so excited.
Oh my God. It literally reaches brain, body, heart, connection, like all of it. And so I'm really going to work on my beliefs and values there, because sometimes you get so busy in life, you don't even know what your values are. And I've changed so much in the last week. I mean, last month, last 6 months.
Last day.
It's like, we're not the same person we were 10 minutes ago, let alone when we got on this call today. It's like, I constantly give myself permission to change. So I think my values show up as teachers for me. I can intuitively feel this feels right. This doesn't feel right. And I just can find them. They just show up. They appear for me. And there's one thing I wanted to add on what you were talking about of like connection and versus oneness. And here's something I find. I'm always alone. Like I live a solo life. That's just who I've always been. I love to do things. I go to the grocery store alone, the movie theater alone. I'll go eat alone at a restaurant. Like, it doesn't bother me. I love solo. I love being solo. Right. And then for a while I wore a badge of honor with that. And then you get to oneness and you find out there's everything, but then it's also okay to really, really want love and connection. And sometimes in this journey, it can get lonely. The solopreneur, entrepreneur, business person, you're going, you're pushing, and that could be lonely. It's like, where's your fulfillment? Where's your love? Where's your connection? Because at the end of the day, if you're eating dinner alone and you can't share what you have in your life, like, I don't know if you've really done the human experience well. That's just my personal opinion. I think part of the human experience is that love, and we all deserve it and should have it.
Yeah. Wow. What a mic drop. That's a mic drop moment. Absolutely. And I think that thank you for sharing that, because I think, like you, I do a lot of things alone. It's like that. This was like a huge aha moment. It's like, you do need to have that love and care, which we all strive for, by the way, still. And so I really want to like emphasize that. And I'm excited. How has it been able to, you know, as you've been going through this human experience of love and connection for yourself and others, how has that been able to transform in your own life, as you've been able to, you know, generate tremendous relationship with others, but still, because I want to touch on that. I think that's powerful. Like, that hit me in the heart a little bit. That human experience, we all really want love and connection. How has that been able to really allow you to still create from that presence of like, yeah, I want love, I want connection, I want to connect with somebody that I, you know, maybe a partner or a family member on the other side of the planet. Yeah. Has that been ever like an issue for you, or do you feel like that path to success has been difficult or you know?
Yeah, I've not yet succeeded, but then that's a story too, because I look and I have beautiful rich relationships and I have that all around me. Sometimes we're not awake to it because we're not looking at it. So I can get really judgmental on myself, like, oh gosh, I've done a bad job of that. But I do think that there's not many entrepreneurs that I've ever met that haven't gone through a phase of like, missing, you know, and then, so I'm not going to judge myself before, but I am aware of like, I've done my stint of putting that value of relationship and connection has been lower on my value list. And now I'm like, oh, whoop, here, it just hit me. It wasn't even in my awareness before, so it didn't matter. And then boom, lesson, red light, green light. Like, it's like, oh, here it is. Now I desire it. Now I crave it. And now I'm going to go get it. And it's just like, once it happens and you feel it, I think it's just a guidance that comes. And so now I'm ready to pursue that. And I think that it's going to enrich my business life. It's going to enrich the pursuit of my dreams, because when you have more love for others, you love yourself more. You have more love in general. When you're coming from a place of love, you're coming from a place of creation, from abundance, not lack. Like, love is literally the answer to everything.
I honestly have always seen and felt so much love coming into like any of the Tony's events. And last date with Destiny, it was in Australia, and I felt I was in a place where I literally felt like it was all about Eric, you know, all this bullshit. And I wanted to get back in my heart, because I was so focused on just these external bullshit experiences. And I think that, you know, I'm excited, by the way, you'll be at Date with Destiny. I'll be there and I'll see you there virtually. but the cool part is like, this is gonna what I think is when we lead with that emphasis of love, I get excited to really understand, you know, how can we help more people come from that place? Mm-hmm. How can we help more people, you know, and what would you suggest? Because I think I have my intuitive belief, you know, is always there, is like, you know, we come from that place and then it'll come more. But what can we do more that allows people to stay in their heart space rather than their head space?
I think you have to practice it, because at times I push really dramatically hard. And it was like, I didn't realize it. And I was like shutting off the valve to my heart. I was in such a state of push, push, push that I remember being at this one event and we were like opening our hearts and feeling. And I remember, and it was like, feel it, feel it, feel it. And I was like, oh my God, I can't feel it. I was like thinking about my dog and I was like knocking on my heart, like, oh, think about your dog. Like, okay, feel emotional. It was like, wasn't working. And I was thinking about my family. I love my family, but it was like my mom, my dad, my brothers, and I was thinking about them and I wasn't feeling it. It was like, I was like, it's not on. My heart's not working. And I don't know the exact answer of opening it, but I know that you just keep getting present to it because that all that is an emotion. And you can feel any emotion that you want as long as you felt it before. So it's just the presence. It's the slowing down. It's the recognition of the present moment. Like when I laughed a second ago, I was looking down because I got my dog walker sent a picture of my dog. I just show, but like they're almost done with their walk. And that like just that little photo.
He's so cute. He's so freaking cute.
Right? Brought me the feeling of just joy. And it's nothing crazy. It's not like she had to run over and like lick my face and I had to find $1 million on the ground. It was like just this one brief moment. Even when I'm here with you, I glanced down, I got this photo and I was able to just feel that and know that it's not just the picture of the dog. It was like somehow we are guided to each other and I get to like nurture her and love her. And now she's on this walk with this person and giving her love, walking around and spreading more love. And it was like, and I could go on a love train and just think I could be so in love just because of one photo from this moment. And that's me practicing the art of, and like just, that's it. Just feel it. Just getting in touch with it, getting in tune with it, getting present to it. And I think you just do that a little bit more. And like, even for anyone on here that hasn't opened your heart in a while, like I can relate to you. And I think that you do. And just watch yourself keep like evolving. And I don't know the word for it, but it's almost like, feeling it.
Being it.
Yeah. Trying versus being. That's just like the moral of the story.
Yeah. It comes full circle now. It's like the beingness, the no proving. It's just the being. Yeah. It really does. Yeah. You know, I first of all, I just want to say thank you for all of this brilliance and love that you share, not just today, but regularly in the world, at all the events that, you know, that you're on with Tony. I know that, you know, you've really dedicated a lot of your time, effort, energy, attention to the people that you serve, to Tony, to all of us collectively. You're always there. And I just want to thank you because you are a bright, shining light. I really love, you know, hanging out with you. I really love, you know, chatting with you. And you've given so many people a path to success today and every day. Why do you think people may fail?
They have a poor definition of success. That's one option. They make it completely impossible for themselves to succeed. You know, like you have to do 1 through 45 things on this list for you to be successful. And really all you're doing is self-sabotaging yourself. So number one, do you have a poor definition of success? And is your success attached to somebody else or some identity or something that is not fulfilled inside of you? So that's number one. And number two is maybe you haven't really decided that that's the thing that you want. Because one thing that I know is like when you're, and what is failure first off, but what I do know about things that you're pursuing, anytime I've decided, like full on decided, like I'm gonna fucking do this, like you know from that place, it doesn't matter what happens, it doesn't matter how many times I have to try, how long I have to try, there's no failure. It's just like I'm still in the pursuit of it. It's still happening. And I think that that clear decision of like what is actually a decision versus something that you're just wishing upon, when you can really, really decide it and be connected and congruent to it, like you can't fail because it's in you.
It's in you, exactly. It's part of you. And I think that's just brilliant insight. And yeah, thank you. Because when it's within us, and it's all within us, we get to come from that place and just be, and just be. Right? So that's the common, thing of like really recognizing and stepping into it. So Carissa, you know, I really want to know if there's anybody on here that wants to know more about your brilliance, wants to know more about Unleash Her Power Within, wants to know about more about, you know, our brilliant and loving mentor, Mr. Tony Robbins. Where can they, you know, find out more information? How can they learn more? Yeah, just give us all the info, because I'm certain there's people here that want to know more.
Yeah, we are on the brink. We're 2 days out from an event. So we're going to have like new landing pages and stuff for the next events come out soon. So the best way to just keep your eye on all of those releases would be my Instagram, which is just my name, and on my video here. I think it'll pop up on Facebook, but it's Carissa Kuchis, and you'll see me pop up right there and just click that. And I do my best to put out some entertaining stories and keep everyone connected. So that's a really great place to get all the information. And then UHPW, it's eight modules of trainings. You could binge them in 1 week if you want, or do them across 8 separate weeks. But that next program is going to come out in, I don't know the official date off the top of my head, but I think it's like a month or so, and we'll have a registration day. But those, once those seats are filled, they're filled. So you want to sign up on that day if you want to go to the next UPW event with the community, with myself. And the website for that is, I'll share my Instagram when the registration opens. So just go to my Instagram and you'll find anything. And then you want to follow Tony on Instagram as well. And you'll find just so much good stuff from our team that we post on there.
So I'll make sure I attach the links in the show notes. And yeah. Carissa, last question.
Yeah.
If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Jesus, I despise these questions, because I'll tell you why. And this might be, my answer may suffice. I am such a free spirit. I change my mind so often. So I always feel so much pressure with like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite food? Or if you had 3 things, what would you do? Like, I'm always like, I could change my mind in 4 minutes. So I don't want to decide. Oh yay, Harlow's back. My little developer. Yeah, I'll take her. Okay, great. If I had 3 days left, I would want to donate all of my money to something profound, like every penny of it, like build something, give some type of gift, do something magical. I would want to, be like at my own wake. I would want to invite everybody, and I would want to say thank you and hug everyone. If I knew I had like 3 days left to live, and I would thank everyone. Hi, Harlow, come here, honey. Thank you so much. Hi. Oh, you guys want to see? Come here.
I'll text you later.
Okay, thank you so much. I bet you, I don't know if you've ever had that on a podcast
before. Yay! God, it's all good. It's amazing. I love it. Look at this beauty.
Okay, so I think I would want to be at my own wake and have everybody, or visitation, whatever. I also want to be cremated, but that's another story. But I would have everyone come, everyone I've ever met before, and I would like hug and personally thank everyone. I feel like that just like love and connection and the reminiscing on all those stories would be amazing. And third is, I would want to sit down and have somebody, and I could change my mind in 4 minutes, you know this, but someone download like everything I know in my brain, and then so they can keep it and teach it to other people.
Beautiful. Like, I love that.
Take it all and put it into something to teach the world.
I love it. Honestly, KK, you're amazing. And again, just want to say thank you. for your time, your energy, your commitment. I appreciate you. I love you. I have so much respect for you. Do you have anything that you want to finish off to say to everybody before you go?
I would say there's one thing I heard one time, and I can't remember who, but it was like, if you want to be great, demonstrate greatness. And I think like the greatest gift that could ever come from myself being on one of these podcasts or just sharing, like, you know, these aren't even my own insights. They're things I've learned from a bunch of people smushed up into my brain and I share them. But I think the greatest gift all of us can give back as human beings is to actually go be a demonstration of what you learn so that you can be that lighthouse, that North Star for somebody else to be like, wow, I really appreciate how that person acted or just smiled at me or was present. And if you can embody just one thing from today and just live it and be it and let another person see it, that's like the greatest gift anyone could ever give in response to one of these.
Yay. I'm super grateful. Appreciate you.